We continue today in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Kelim with lesson number 20. We're continuing in our fifth perek, perek Hamishi, the ninth and tenth Mishnayos, Mishnah Tes and Mishnah Yud. We begin with Mishnah Tes, the ninth Mishnah in the fifth perek. Tanur Shebo Michutach Mibeis Ha'umon. The Uman, the artisan, the worker who's producing these tanurim, sends it to you in pieces, michutach, sliced into pieces. However, v'osa bo limudin, he has like bands on the outside of these vertical pieces. You have vertical pieces, sections of a tanur, which by themselves aren't united, aren't mechuborim, aren't connected, but he wraps around them a kind of a strap or a band around them which holds them in place. And these bands are called limudin. So suppose he made this limudin, v'nos no lov, and he placed the limudin, the bands, around the vertical sections, disconnected from each other, but the band is holding them together. So the end result is that it is tohor, says the Mishnah. For who tohor? Because connecting the planks, the vertical planks or sections of the tanur through these bands or limudim, is not sufficient to render it into a tanur unless it is smeared round about on the outside with a layer of tit. Suppose nitmo, suppose he did smear the outside of the tanur with this layer of mud plaster of tit, and now it became tome because surrounded with the tit and the limudim, it's doubly connected, and therefore it's mekabel tumah. Suppose it became tome, and now he removes v'sileikes limudov. He removes these bands, even though it's still smeared together. But nevertheless, when he removes the bands, says the Mishnah, tohor, the tumah is gone. It breaks away the tumah, because by removing the bands, the whole unit is destroyed. And even the miruach, even the layer of tit smeared around, is botel, and it becomes tohor. Hechziron lo. Suppose then, next step, he puts the bands back on. Tohor, it remains tohor, because once it's broken into bits, just connecting it with limudim cannot make it into a keli, which is mekabel tumah. So it's tohor, it remains tohor. Mercho batit. Suppose you have a such a vessel, comes from the Yumon in vertical sections or planks, and the planks have a band around them, and they have the tit around them. Mercho batit. After he put the bands back on, he smeared it with tit. So now it's connected through both the bands and the tit. Mekabel tumah. It is now mekabel tumah because the limudim with the meruach, the bands around them, holding it in place, holding them in place, and the smearing of the tit around it, that is enough to render it a tanur. Ve'eino tzorech lahasikenu. Now he doesn't have to reheat the inside of the tanur, because shekvar husak, at the beginning of the whole process, it was smeared with tit from the inside, and then it was presumably already heated. So even though he removed the limudim, he was mevatel the miruach, and then he put the limudim back, but he was again memareach, again he smeared it with tit. Now the original heating remains intact, and the tanur is now mekabel tumah. I explain this Mishnah according to the pirush of the Rash, Rabbeinu Shimshon, which is the simplest way to just explain the words. The Rambam and the Bartanura following the Rambam have a more complex way of explaining the Mishnah. So if you're interested, you can consult the Pirush HaRambam or the Pirush of the Bartanura to see that pshat. Our pshat, which I've just shared with you, is the pshat of the Rash and others, the Rosh and other Rishonim, and it just gives a simple, direct, almost literal translation of this Mishnah. Now we move ahead to Mishnah Yud. Chatocho chulyos. If you had a tanur and you sliced it in its width, so now it's like three rings, one on top of the other, each one less than four tfochim, so none of them in love itself is mekabel tumah. And now, v'nosan chol ben chulya lechulya, he placed a layer of sand between each ring. So now you have at the bottom of this tanur a ring, which is not four tfochim, but above it, sand, and above it, another ring, which is not four tfochim, and above it, sand. Rabbi Eliezer mitaher. Rabbi Eliezer says that the chibur of the sand is not sufficient to connect the chulyos into an intact tanur, because the sand separates these chulyos. So that even if he would smear the outside of this whole entity with tit, it wouldn't be sufficient to make it into an intact tanur, because the chulyos are not connected to each other. They are separated by a layer of sand. So Rabbi Eliezer mitaher, Rabbi Eliezer says they are tohor. It can't be mekabel tumah because there's sand between the chulyos, and the sand prevents the tanur from being considered a whole, intact tanur. So says Rabbi Eliezer. V'chachomim mitamin. The Chachamim say it is mekabel tumah, with the condition, says the Rash, Rabbeinu Shimshon, if you heat it from the inside to the level where it is, it can bake the sufganim, the soft, doughy pastries, which we've been referring to. Because according to the Chachamim, the layer of tit, of mud plaster around the tanur, makes it into an intact tanur, in spite of the fact that the chulyos are separated from each other by a layer of sand. The Mishnah says, Ze tanuro shel achna'ai. Many learn pshat here, that achna'ai is a name of a man, a person, who made his tanurim in such a manner, with chulyos, with rings, separated by layers of sand. The Gemara in Meseches Bav Metzia, Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis, makes a big deal out of this Tanur Shel Achna'ai, and relates the word Achna'ai to a snake. A snake is called an Achna. An Achna is a type of snake which curls itself round and around, like in a circle, like you've seen pictures of snakes do that. Meaning that the Chachamim, those who disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer, encircled him like you one would like the snake with rings around him. They encircled him and they pronounced this tanur tome, not like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer tried all sorts of techniques to convince them that he was right. And these techniques had to do with heavenly miracles, which all, quote, proved, end quote, that he was right. Nevertheless, the Chachamim disagreed with him, and they rendered all the foodstuffs or whatever that he ruled were tohor. They ruled that they were tameh, and they burned them in fire. And they actually excommunicated him because of his insistence that he was right against the vast majority. So this is a rather famous a situation, the Tanur Shel Achna'ai. The Mishnah continues with another Hechetimtza, another scenario, and that is Yodos Ho'arvian, the pots in which the Arvian, the Arabs, the Bedouins presumably, used to bake their bread. What they would do is they would, as the Mishnah says, Shehu chofer ba'oretz, they would dig a hole in the ground, v'toch batit, and they would smear into that hole this kind of mud plaster. So now the hole was thoroughly plastered, and you had basically a layer of plaster shaped like a cup or a pot in the hole. So it depends. Im yochol hatiach la'amo b'fnei atzmo, if you would remove the earth from around this layer of tiach, this layer of smeared plaster, and it would stand on its own accord, so it's a vessel in its own right, it's mekabel tumah, tameh. V'yim lav, however, if you remove the earth around it, and the vessel, which is really a layer of tit, collapses, it doesn't stand intact, it's not omeid b'fnei atzmo, tohor, so it's not mekabel tumah. V'zeh tanuro shel ben dinai. And this is the oven of a man, presumably a thief or a bandit, who was always on the run, and that's how he used to bake his bread, and he's called ben dinai. Others, Rambam, says no, it's called ben dinai because this too, like the Tanur shel Achnei, which we learned at the beginning of this Mishnah, was a subject of great machlokes, so too such a Tanur was a subject of great machlokes, of great din, of great argument, and therefore it's called Tanuro shel ben dinai. And so we have finished Mishnah Yud, and in the process concluded lesson number 20.